welcome to the DMX podcast show. I'm your host, Steve Mathis, and with me on the line is a guy that I've been playing phone tag with for a while, but I'm happy to finally get him on the show, and that would be none other than Blackfoot Yamaha's Tyler Medaglia. T-Dags, what's up?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, it feels weird to say Blackfoot Yamaha. You know?
It does.
With you, anyways.
Yeah.
How is that going? How's the new team and the new bike and all that?
Everything's been awesome. You know, I've got so much support from them, and you know, I got my bike pretty early, and I've been riding it, and fortunately, Joe Skid lives pretty close, not too far from where I stay up in Ottawa, and he'd had my suspension done right away, and you know, I've just been riding the bike and loving it, and I feel better than ever right now, really.
And so did you get back into the 250 mindset right away? I mean, it's kind of a different deal, huh?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but I mean, I don't know, it's a good change. You know, I've been riding the 450 for a while and trying to figure that out, and just I'm working on being smooth, and now I can just kind of let loose again. I rode 250s at a couple races last year that I boiled, and mm-hmm. You know, I did good at it in the races, and I felt good on it. So, and then it wasn't that hard of a transition. You know, I got back on the bike and just kind of pinned it, and it felt good, and I'm really enjoying it right now.
Yeah, pinning a 250F usually always works pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, so what's it like? Like, for years, they've been the enemy, and you've wanted to beat them so bad, and now you are on their side.
Yeah.
I don't mean it like you hated them or nothing, but you know what I mean? Like, that was the goal, was to beat Blackfoot, and now you're inside the inner circle. So what's that like? Is it a little weird, or how was it?
Yeah, no, I mean, just to be a part of the team is awesome, you know? It kind of sounds a little bit like a hypocrite, but... I worked my butt off trying to beat them, and, you know, that's just what I wanted to do. I'm like, I just got to beat those Blackfoot guys and try to get a championship. But, you know, it's tough. You know, they're so professional and so well prepared, and everything, you know, revolves around winning, and they don't mess around with what they, you know, they got a goal. They put everything they got from the manufacturers, every penny they get, they put it into the team, and, you know, it shows.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What's been the most surprising thing about riding for them that you didn't think about beforehand?
Actually, you know, I kind of oversaw it a little bit. I thought it would be a little bit more strict, and everyone's saying, "Oh, you just can't do this, you can't do that." But you know, they've been really cool with me, and I do pretty much anything I've really wanted to yet.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense. I mean, sure, there's that indoor stuff, a few indoor races that I kind of would have liked to have done, and they would have gave me the opportunity to ride. I mean, they had a bike ready for me for arena cross, but you know, with the whole series going back to 450s, and I wouldn't have been able to get a 450 in enough time.
Uh-huh.
So, and then once I decided, like, I couldn't start off the rounds, I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to train and ride a bit more with my brother.
Uh-huh.
And then just do some races with him and do some outdoor races and just really get ready for this season coming up.
Right, right. Yeah, I wish you guys... All you guys could have gone to Toronto and raced. I wrote that. It would have been great. But on the other hand, you can totally see their point on why they didn't. There's good arguments for both sides. And I don't know which one's right. You know what I mean? It sucks.
I mean,
but it's also understandable and reasonable why you guys wouldn't show up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's just the same kind of thing. I mean, there's so many people that were shooting their mouths off and getting so crazy. But, I mean, they just, first of all, it's so hard to do that kind of stuff. I mean, all those guys that are going up there have been, you have to be on a supercross track for at least 2 months before you want to expect to, you know, race. I mean, just to show up there and just, oh, I'm just going to do Toronto just because it's in Canada. I mean, if you want to watch Canadians race supercross, just go to Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah,
just
there
wait,
you go.
You know, wait. We're trying to all, you know, our series keeps on getting better and better. And, you know, and our, as like, you know, I'm not too big into, you know, politics and stuff, but
yeah.
I mean, our economy is climbing and getting a lot better, you know, and it's improving where we didn't, normally just didn't do exactly what the states did and kind of fall down like they have.
Right.
We're kind of, our economy's picking up, and we're trying to, our goal is to get our series, you know, keep growing and getting better. Like right now, like our series, is, each year we're getting more sponsors, you know, more people are coming out. It's getting, you know, it's really good. So, again, that's what our goal is. And as far as the team goes, sure, there's like the Canadians that are on the team are there's, you know, only a few more besides, you know, there's a few more guys that are, would be good at Supercross, but, you know, you had
I think you four are the best. I would think it'd be, you, I don't think, well, maybe your brother, but other than that, it's, I wouldn't think there's any four Canadians that are better at Supercross than you four guys, to my me, anyways.
I mean, it would be cool if we got to do it, but, I mean, it's just the goal of the team is one thing, is just winning Canadian championships, and you can't take anything away from that because, you know, it's always a good show put on in the summer, so.
No,
I mean, I would have loved to race Toronto. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, I rode, and it would have been, and I think it would have been my best chance of doing well because my bikes are really good, and I feel really strong right now and confident. And I rode, like, I was getting ready to race Arena Cross, and I was riding with with Sipes and stuff, and you know, I felt really good. But you know, it's just the way it goes sometimes. Hopefully, next year we'll do something. But that's where it stands.
No one can question Tyler or Jeremy Medaglia's desire to race and line up against the best. I've long admired the fact that you guys will go on off weekends and race whoever, wherever, get your butt kicked, do well. It doesn't matter. You're looking to better yourself. You know what I mean? So no one can say that either one of you two guys are not racers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to just sit back and not race. Like, I would have, like, a bunch of people wanted me to go up to Toronto to watch, and I was like, oh, I don't even really want to go and watch. I'd rather just go and race. I mean, there was so much other stuff to do. I mean, my brother, you know, like I said to, I don't know what I said it on, but, like, for example, my brother, people say, oh, well, why didn't Jeremy race Toronto? Well, he could either have, you know, stayed in, he could have either, you know, spent $2,000 getting ready for this race, drove all the way up to Toronto, had to get his suspension done somehow, and then, or he could just stay down and did what he did and make, you know, $800 at a local race down the States. You know, so that's another thing that I've thought about for the Toronto Supercross thing.
Well,
but
the money in the lights class, yeah. I mean, Troy Adams got 10th, and I think he got $440 for 10th place in the main. You know, So like, not talking bad about your old team or nothing, but can you see now what you're up against? Now that you're riding for Blackfoot, can you see what you're up against every year? Kind of, maybe shake your head a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but as far as it went for me, like, they put everything, they did their best for me, and you know, I appreciate everything that they've done. I mean, Andre and the gang, they really worked hard for me, and I mean, it shows a little bit, but
it's just nobody spends the money. The bottom line is Blackfoot's budget is a lot bigger. And that's bottom line, and it's gonna make a better team. Mitch Payton's budget is bigger than, you know, Valley Yamaha's or whoever. So that's the bottom line.
Yeah, and I mean, like it worked out, but I can definitely see how organized and how ready and prepared and how it doesn't matter. They don't hesitate when it comes to questioning about putting, you know, everything that happened to the team. That's where it goes. And, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, even right now, I've already got, you know, an email of what like each day, how the testing is going to go.
Right.
You know, before I'm not even there yet, and it's not even coming up, but I know everything that's going to happen. Everything is scheduled. Everything is, you know, has its place and a purpose, and everybody's going to meet up and do, you know, just do everything right to get it perfect.
Yeah, that's cool. At the end of the season last year, now you were talking to Blackfoot at Walton, from what I understand, but did you – how did it go down? They wanted you to race the 250 class. Did you have to think about it, or was it like case of like, hey, Tyler, we want you to ride 250s. You're like, where do I sign?
Pretty much.
Was it? Okay, so it wasn't like you were shopping for a 450 ride or hanging late. You wanted that Blackfoot ride no matter if they told you you had to ride a moped.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I'm like, I'd ride 500 two-stroke if I had to. I mean, I didn't really care. You know, I just wanted a chance. I feel like, you know, I feel like I deserved it. I put so much effort in, and you know, I just had a little bit of an off season at the beginning of last year, and I just felt like, you know, this would be a good chance for me. I'm at the right state of mind for it. I'm focused, and you know, I'm ready to go for this year. So it's the right time for me to be on the Blackfoot team.
Right. Now, pardon my ignorance, but I don't remember how you did when you raced lights class as a pro. How did you do last time?
I struggled with my starts on the 250F, like the first, like when I first, in 07, but the reason why I got moved up so fast is because I, at Calgary in 07, I got like fourth or something, and I hadn't even rode a 450 up until that weekend, so that's kind of, the push was there because, I showed that I could ride the 450, you know, relatively well.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was on the podium most of the time. I got third overall in the championship.
I do remember that year. Yeah, I do remember
in the East Coast. Just a lot of rides that came from the back.
Right.
But yeah.
So last season, you know, you really had an incredibly successful year in 2008, where you led the series. Man, you led the series up past halfway, I believe.
Yeah.
And looked really well. Finished number three. I know last season you battled some injuries, but do you think, looking back on it, did you not prepare the same? Did you have a little bit too much confidence? What was the difference between the Medaglia of 08 and the Medaglia of 09?
I don't know. I mean,
because you were fast in practice, you always had a good lap time. You know, like the speed was there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my speed was there. I don't know. I just had a problem with, we were tinkering with suspension so much that I didn't know what setting was where, and you know, I just had a bunch of stupid stuff going on, like off the track, and just you know, I don't know, everything wasn't working, and I had a real problem with my arms, like I had some, like, just the injuries, like the stuff that was going on in my shoulder and from my surgery before. You know, once each weekend, I was working on it throughout the whole season, and as the season went on, it got progressively better, and that's, you know, it kind of showed because I started getting better results. But
yeah,
you know, it's just, I mean, just a bit of an off season.
Was it a case of, did you not go as fast, or did Fasciotti and Klatt raise their game a bit? What do you think, or can you know?
No, I mean, they were riding really good, but I mean, as far as speed goes, I my speed was there. Like I had, it's not like they went so much more fat. Like they got a lot faster. It's just, you know, they were consistent every weekend, my problem was I just couldn't. The speed that I had, I just couldn't hold it the whole time. Like I'd get out of control, and you know, it just, yeah. I mean, those guys were ready, and I wasn't, not to say that I wasn't ready, but just like the whole package wasn't there, and I was just struggling a bit, but you know, some stuff happened at the end of the season where, like, going into Sandalie, there were people there that were supposed to, like, there were supposed to be a couple people at the races that we needed that didn't show up, and just kind of a bit of drama there within the team, but you know, we did whatever we could and got away with it at Sandalie, but you know, going into Walton, I still could have had, you know, number three again. But, you know, my bike was the same as, set up the same for Sandalie, and it was, Walton was literally, there was not a bump on the track. And
yeah, I don't think that setup's going to work too well.
Yeah,
So did you leave OTSF as friends and all that? Like, was it a bitter breakup, or how did that go down? Because, you know, as we all know.
It was all good. I mean, Andre knew, you know, he always told me that he wouldn't hold me back, you know, it was hard for him because they didn't have any, you know, real budgets that weren't solid, and I kind of, Suzuki kind of screwed me over a little bit last year as far as, you know, they were rushing me to get my contract in at the beginning of the year, and once I got it in, everything that I was supposed to get got pulled completely, so I was going from, you know, going to have make a bit of money to, you know, not getting anything. So,
was it really that? Like, you got nothing?
Yeah, I was supposed to get, you know, quite a bit of money, like a salary, and then they were going to try to get me some, but I didn't even end up getting any, and I had already signed the contract.
So you had a case to leave if you wanted to, like if there was something else there, they just basically broke the contract.
But you know, I wanted to try, and I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it and make a spectacle. And I just wanted to do it as professional as I could, and just get through the year as best I could, and see where it took me.
You weren't gonna fly a banner behind you saying I'm getting effed.
Yeah, no, exactly. and you know, we left on good terms. I mean, Andre did. You know, I can't complain. You know, they got me to where I at.
Right.
Really, because they worked their butt off. You know, you know, for 3 years we did a lot. You know, we tried to get the team going as best we could, and you know, there was some good. You know, we had a lot of good rides and stuff.
Right.
Just a time for a change for me, I think.
How difficult was it last year when your brother had a big falling out with the team over God, I don't even know what the right word for it is, wanting to ride a 450 or a 250, and he left the team, and you know, your dad and him were kind of separated, and you're in there, and how difficult was that? I mean, you seem to have a pretty good sense of humor. At times it probably was pretty funny, but what was that like?
Well, it was anything but funny for me, because it was stressful, you know? Everybody was... That was another thing that really kind of was getting to me, too, at the races. Like, there was so much shit going on. Like, they're arguing.
People not getting along? Yeah, like, people not getting along.
Yeah, people not getting along, and then, like, I'm supposed to choose, right? And I can't really choose before...
it's the ultimate thing, like, which kid, we have to kill a kid. To pick a kid, which one we're going to kill. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, look, how are you supposed to... Yeah. So...
It was pretty crazy at Gopher Dunes. Like, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to leave, and I'm just going to show up with my gear and get on the bike and ride and then get off and leave.
Yeah, really. How bad did it get? Were they yelling at each other and stuff? Man, I wish I was there. That sounded like fun.
Like, yeah, I mean...
Full drama?
It was full on. Like, it was pretty heated. I stayed away from it. I missed the meaty stuff. I missed the really good stuff. But.
Yeah. But, I mean, that had to affect you, you know, on the track. You know, you got to be happy and at peace with yourself before you get on that bike, and that probably rattled you a bit.
Yeah, and I tried not to make... I mean, I didn't make... You know, everyone was kind of asking me what's going on. I tried to, you know, make it sound like the least it was.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to talk it down as much as I could and make it look like it wasn't, had nothing to do with me or affected me. And
no, you did with me, stuff, too. But, I mean, we talked that next week on text or something, and, dude, you made it sound like it was really no big deal. And then I talked to people that were there, and they were like, oh, it was ugly. So you did a good job of it, you know?
Yeah, it was... But, I mean, it ended up working out because Jeremy, you know, he's my brother's set in his ways, and he's, you know, he doesn't let anything push him around. So,
what
I guess that was kind of good.
Yeah. What about his new KTM? He likes it. He's in Florida. He's just riding. Give us a GPR update.
He's back home. He's actually gonna come. He's gonna come out here and ride with me for a bit, I think. Because there's a couple of East Coast arena crosses that are coming up, and I think he's gonna do it. So he really likes the bikes, and it seems to suit him. Like he's been riding really good, and he he's been working hard. It's gonna be really good. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be exciting to hear you guys get into fights. when you're practicing together, because let's face it, you two are going for a championship along with Beaton and a few others, Mayer, Nye. It's gonna be crazy. So at some point, I mean, are you guys gonna be able to keep this keep from killing each other? You'll be good, you think?
Yeah. Especially, I think we're both ready for whatever happens. I mean, there's a, we raced this year in the winter, and it went my way and went his way, and it wasn't really, really a big deal. The thing is I just want, it'd be cool to see both of us do well and just keep everything normal. I mean, we're both pretty competitive, but I think we're mature enough now not to let it get to us. So
yeah. So what's your typical day like there in Nova Scotia? You get up, you go to Heidi's Cafe, have a little Danish and some coffee, and then do you go skate at Mitch's shop in the afternoon? Skate and destroy on the half pipe.
Yeah. No, we're Heidi said started a house, so we've been working up in there quite a bit, and I don't know. Yeah, I get up and go and make some breakfast, and maybe get a little treat, and then I've been getting out of there, and then going riding for a few hours, and then come back, and then twice a week we're going to kickboxing as training.
Nice.
And I do yoga pretty close to, three times a week, so.
Wow.
Get my training, and it's easy to stay focused here because, there's a lot of people here like to do stuff, so there's always something going on, whether it's, there's always activity going on, so it's fun.
Right. How's the Bassinown doing?
Oh, Molly, she's awesome.
Molly. Yeah. And then
Molly
and Jim?
And Jim.
They're buddies? They play?
They're trouble together. You should see them.
Oh,
the Rat Pack, we call them. There's three dogs that hang out all the time, and they're when they get together, they're trouble. They just think they're. The funniest thing is every Sunday when Mitch doesn't take Jim or it's a day off. You hear first thing in the morning, like Jim waddles his way over and sits at the door and kind of scratches at the door and waits for the other ones to come out so they can go play all day. And like every single Sunday, it's the same thing.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
It's like he waits and says, "Okay, guys, let's go. It's Sunday. We're playing."
Yeah, yeah. It's on right now.
Yeah.
Lots of slobber when they start playing. Lots of slobber going everywhere. I can see it now.
Yeah.
I've got the same problem over here.
Yeah.
But they got to be getting big now. I bet Jim's probably pretty big.
Yeah, Jim's big. He weighs like 75 pounds or something. He's pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Holy crap. And then how's Mitch doing? Is he going to ride for Andre this year? It looks like it. I don't know if there's official yet, but it's not official. Maybe it is. I don't know. But
yeah, I think they are.
That's cool.
He's, I know he's just waiting for bikes right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's going to be good. I think he's going to, surprise a few people this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be in really good shape, and we're going to be able to ride together, every day and really push and train. So it's going to be good. I think he's going to have a good year this year.
Are you going to base yourself out of there like all year?
I think so. Yeah.
Really? Oh man, thanks for some long flights. At least I like to go west, but whatever. Hey, let's talk about the two-stroke you bought. Before I hit the record button, you still told me you bought a two-stroke. What did you get?
Yeah, I got. Well, it's kind of a crazy deal. I got, all the races in the States. You can ride a TVD two-stroke in the lights class, and at first I was just riding my TVDF in both classes, and I was getting killed in the 450 class and getting roosted the whole time. I'm like, well, if I can't get a 450, I might as well see if I can find a cheap TVD two-stroke,
mm-hmm.
and so I can ride at least that in the 450 class. And then I went on Craigslist, and I ended up finding one like an hour from where we were staying,
mm-hmm.
right out in the sticks. This guy had bought the bike because the guy at the dealership told him that was the last year they were making two strokes.
Mm-hmm.
In like in 2005.
Yeah. So he was.
And so he got it. He got it, and he literally rode it up and down the laneway a couple times.
Uh-huh.
And the only problem with it was the back fender was creased because he looped it out and then he parked it.
Classic, huh?
So the bike was sitting in there for 4 years untouched. It was basically brand new, and I bought it for like $2,000.
Sweet. So it's an 05, so it's aluminum frame.
Yeah, aluminum frame, and I ended up getting some of the some good suspension on it, and and the thing rips. I have so much fun on it, like. It's crazy. You can get some fast lap times on those things for sure. It'd be fun. It'd be fun to actually try, maybe at Walton, try to race it in the 450 class.
You know what you need to get for that? The trick for that is to get the Pro Circuit pipe that we use, that Yamaha, that Reed used. They don't sell it, but they do sell them if you know what you're talking about. And dude, that pipe, you put that pipe, a silencer, and a V-Force on that bike, and dude, it's so good. It's amazing.
Really?
I might even have a V-Force here for it. I can just send it to you. And Nick Way just called me yesterday looking for that same pipe because he knew too. He's like, I gotta get that pipe. So it's a magical pipe. You'd understand if you put it on. But
really?
So the guy you bought it from just looped it out, and that's it. Put it away.
Yeah, and then he's like, yeah, you know, I was scared of them things, and he was talking about, you know, you put me on anything else but a dirt bike, and I'll rip. You know, I jump a three wheeler 40, 50 feet. I snap the frames on those things. He's telling us how he snaps frames and four wheelers and three wheelers, and he said it's his jumps down the road that he does, and he's just how crazy he is, and it was pretty funny. He
jumps his big red, and then like, did you ever ride a three wheeler, dude? Like, they get really scary. They start bouncing in the back, and
it's so awkward.
Yeah, soon it's gonna be curtains, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about your Motocross of Nations rides. Not having the greatest luck. One year you're on a bike that maybe wasn't equal to your guys that you were racing, and you were struggled all day. The next day, next year you hurt yourself. Is it does it sour you on the experience, or would you still go in a heartbeat?
No, I'd still go. You know, it's kind of a bummer that happened. I felt good the day that I ended up crashing. I felt good, you know, in practice and everything, and you know, I was ready to go. But just one of those things. I mean, it was just weird how it happened. Like, I tipped over on the first lap, and then I was trying to get back going, and then all of a sudden I it was an off camber rut, and somebody had blown out, and I was sitting down through the rut, and once I got where it was blown out, I sat down, and it high-sided me, kicked me up pretty weird, and I cut and injured my spleen, but still, it was so cool just to go and see Italy, and you know, it was a good experience when I went to England too, like just to see these places and to be able to race and represent Canada is, you know, it's all that has to sell me on going. You know, no matter what, but
well, you need to go just for redemption. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, this year Colorado, so hopefully you know, at least two or three, the whole team probably will be Blackfoot at some point, I would think, and I hope you guys can all go. I know it gets into politics and that whole deal, but that'd be sweet if the whole rig could just go down south to Lakewood and you could get redemption.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, I'm looking. I'd like to get redemption on that race for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Give me your best Derek Medaglia story. Give me your best one. I know so
I got a really good one actually lately.
All right, let's hear it.
This is what happened. I don't know. Did I write about the story where he got the deer attacked him?
Yes. Yeah.
Did I?
I think so. Or was it a turkey? Was it a turkey?
Oh, no. This is a new one. This is a new one. Okay. My dad. Okay. Petey is gotten pretty big now.
Uh-huh.
And my dad's got a whole bunch of deer, and like he's got probably about, you know, 14 or 15 deer now, and he's got two big tens. And
what does that mean? What do you mean big tens? What does that mean?
Like where they stay. They roam around and like
tents. Okay. Yeah.
Pens, like cages, and you know, they got tons of room in there, but when Petey's in his, like, the main buck in there, when he's in his when he's in his like rut in the mating season, like he's pretty crazy. Nobody's allowed to go inside the cage, or because he's nuts. Like he's like, you can just tell by looking him in the eye that he's crazy.
That Petey's not all there.
Yeah, like he'll walk sideways and make his hair stick up, make himself look enormous. He's already like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
So what my dad was, trying to make a divider so that he would separate him from the rest of the deer for a little while.
Yeah.
And he was out there at night, and he had a flashlight, and he had to like shut the gate when the deer got through, and then get out as fast as he could.
Yeah.
But what happened is he had his head down, and when he turned to run out, he ran straight into a tree.
Oh.
And he knocked his glasses off, and he dropped the flashlight, and then the deer charged at him.
No way.
It attacked him. Yeah, it attacked him. Put him right against the tree, and put him right against the tree, and the deer literally ripped his pants off.
No way.
Yeah, he had like 82 puncture wounds from it.
Oh.
He was scared for his life, okay?
Dude, no way. That's, yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, and somebody was there, like somebody was with him and couldn't, like, was so scared that he couldn't go in the deer cage, like didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So my brother was walking from the house to the garage and heard all this noise and stuff going on in the back.
Yeah.
And so my brother goes there, and he's like, he doesn't know what to do. My dad's like freaking out and like trying to tell him what to do. And then my dad's friend wouldn't go in because he didn't know what to do. So
yeah.
My brother grabbed a spade shovel, okay?
Yeah.
And hit the deer in the head literally as hard as he possibly could.
Yeah. Just swung
it. And all it did. With the sharp side, and all it did was piss it off even more.
No.
It didn't even do anything. So my dad yells at my brother to go get the gun, the shotgun, in the garage. So Jerry runs back and grabs the shotgun and comes out, and he hasn't really shot the gun before, uh-huh. So he didn't bring any shells with him. So he has the shotgun with no shells.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened, but he hit him in the side, and then the deer finally let up, and he got out. But like he said, it was the most scared he's ever been. He thought he was gonna get killed.
Like okay, so the deer, how did it pin your dad against a tree? Like with its head? Like it was?
Yeah,
it
pushed with his antlers.
Oh, with the antlers. Okay, so
yeah, he's got like he's like a 11 point buck. Like he's enormous.
So so it was poking him just everywhere, like you said.
Yeah, just stabbing him. Like, and he was up against a tree, and my dad was trying to hold on to his head so it wouldn't get him.
Yeah,
like, he didn't have, like, the power to move back and, like, really puncture him.
Right.
But, I mean, it literally ripped his pants off.
Holy shit.
Ripped his clothes off, and he was bleeding everywhere, was cut. Like, it was crazy.
Well, and that was Petey? Was that Petey?
That was Petey, yeah.
Is Petey still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
I thought your dad might have some nice deer steak after that.
Well, if I was there, I wouldn't have forgotten the shells for that gun. I would have killed that deer.
Yeah, good job, Jer Bear.
Yeah, and then it was pretty crazy. But now,
oh, dude, that is.
He's good now. I mean, he shed his antlers, so he's a pussy right now.
Yeah. So really, they go that crazy in mating season. See, I have no idea, dude. I've never hunted. I finally shot a gun just like a month ago at Villapoto's house for the first time ever.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never shot a gun before, and so Villapoto let me shoot a couple of his guns. But yeah, so I have no idea deers and all that. Like I don't know what you're talking about. But
I heard he's big into hunting.
Yeah, he is. He's big into guns. I don't know about
really?
Him. I don't know what he hunts. The gun I shot, dude, was like a dirty, hairy handgun. I asked him what people use it for, and he says they hunt bears with it. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, like a friggin' desert eagle or something.
I have no idea, dude. It was ridiculous. It was the stupidest gun ever.
Yeah, but what happened, the reason why the deer is like that is because, like, my dad bottle fed it, right? So it's super comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
It's super comfortable there, and then he just thinks he rules everything. Like, he's so cocky.
Right.
But now one of his kids PJ, Petey Jr., I think his name is. Like, my dad's got names for all the animals. It's pretty funny. And yeah. The one deer, the two, he's got two sons that are twins.
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, kicking his ass now, so I think he's losing a little bit of confidence.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Petey's down. Petey needs a little bit of rehab.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That it's a funny story, but yet it's not, because it could have been really serious.
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of people, there's been a lot of deaths from people who've had, domestic wild deer that
deer's trying to hunt them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your dad doing with pens of deer? Can I ask that?
I don't know. He just wanted to. I mean, the reason why he had the deer in the first place, he was kind of just helping out a friend because he had this deer, and he always kind of wanted to see how they work.
Uh-huh.
And now he's just, I don't know, he's just doing it for fun, like a hobby. And he made a chicken coop, so he's got chickens, and he's going to have, you know, he gets eggs every morning, and he's got a bunch of turkeys.
Oh, jeez.
Just there's a whole bunch of, and it's funny because there's one duck. There's one duck amongst all the turkeys and chickens,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks, like, the one duck thinks he's a turkey because he hangs out with the turkeys. So you see the turkeys walking around, and then there's the duck just waddling just behind him, thinking that he's one of them. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, your dad, if he needs some extra money, he can open up a petting zoo on the side.
Yeah, almost.
I like your dad. He's a good dude. He's always I like him. He's calls it as it is, you know, straight shooter. So
yeah.
I can imagine a few times he probably pissed you off with yelling at you about your riding or whatever, but you know, in the end it helped you help make you, you know.
Yeah.
What's the gnarliest fight you guys ever got into at the racetrack or at the practice track or anything?
Between me and my dad?
Yeah.
Well, we had a in 03 I had a 125 that wasn't working good.
Yeah.
And you know when you have to go out and do the better or worse?
The better,
like, for testing.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I couldn't tell. Like, we thought the problem with the bike was the jetting, and like we would change the jetting like one extreme to another, and I'd come in and I wouldn't know what the hell is going on. I'm like, he's like, better or worse, and I'm like, I don't know, it's shit, and I just freak out, and then we got in a huge fight that day because the jetting of that stupid bike when it ended up being like the stator or something crazy. And then I don't know, a lot of the fights was like back in the day on 60s and stuff when you know, when that was a thing to do, just freak out at the track. But
that was a thing to do. That was a cool thing to do.
Yeah, I was a guinea pig on that one because my brother didn't get the same treatment. He got the, oh, it's okay, you'll just do it next time.
Yeah,
it was more of a
same here, dude. My brother was the star and got all the bikes, and then him and my dad would fight constantly. And I think by the time I got age, my dad knew what he did wrong with my brother.
Exactly.
And so he wasn't as violent and as yelled as much and stuff. But then when my brother quit, I got all the money devoted to me. So then I got the bikes and all that, you know?
So, yeah. That's kind of the same deal.
Yeah,
kind of. I was a guinea pig stage to where he learned how to learn the ways.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, what, in all of your races down south, was there one that stands out for you as being the best one? One that you rode the best in, did the best? Is there one that you're most proud of?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I've had a few pretty good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the arena crosses were pretty good.
Yeah.
I had one race in... it was the best race for me because I got the hole shot and I just checked out, and it felt pretty good to do that again. There were some pretty fast, I was racing against some pretty fast guys.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like outdoors, I mean, I had a couple good rides at Southwick. I qualified in like seventh in times at Red Bud on the 450 in 08, and I felt really good. But I crashed
in the last
practice on the finish line, and I couldn't race. But I think, I don't know, just there's been a few really good ones, and
yeah.
I think the best of are waiting to come. Like I think I'm gonna have a really good opportunity this year if I get to do the last couple rounds to really get a good result, and
You know what's crazy is and people on the MX forum and the Vital MX, they don't realize this. And I mean, I'm guilty of it too sometimes, but a guy like you, I mean, you're super fast on a dirt bike. Like, you ride amazingly. And then you go down south and you're just a guy fighting out for points. And yeah. And then, you know, or you look at a guy like you know, like Jason Thomas, or, well, I want to say maybe a guy that, you know, Ivan Tedesco, who constantly gets fourths and fifths. And, you know, he gets beat by Villopoto pretty good. It's just amazing how fast those guys are, huh? The very best.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, on the same hand, then you have the other way around. Like, I mean, Nick Way got fourth at Red Bud.
Yeah.
Or was it Red Bud?
Millville, he got fifth the weekend after he went to Santa Lee. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and he got fourth at Santa Lee.
Yeah. And then he goes and fifth at Millville.
I had a couple of races in the States where, like, I was... I think one of the races at Southwick, I was, like, in the top 10 until, or, like, 9th or 10th for until, like, almost two laps to go or something, and I crashed.
Yeah. Your brother, too, like, was running up there, too, until he got super tired when he was at
Troy. Yeah, he was right up there, too, for a bit. I mean, it's just, but, you know, really, honestly, I think that the best, I feel like I will have the best, the opportunity to do the best I think I can this year. You know,
do you ever get intimidated? Do those guys? Do you get intimidated when you're riding south and you see those guys and names on the back of the jerseys?
Not really. I mean, I did at first when I first started going down. I did, but I mean, last year at Southwick in the second moto, I mean, I battled with Brayton. I passed Brayton, and then I was battling with I battled with Millsaps for, you know, most of the race in the second moto, and you know, it wasn't as bad as it, you know, last year was probably the easiest it was.
Right. How much do you go on MX Forum and read the thoughts of all of the Canadian experts?
yeah, the experts. I mean, I haven't gone on lately. I kind of did that. I was on it quite a bit last year and stuff, but now I kind of just want to stay away from it. I just want to, because I don't know, I just want to, this year I want to kind of stay away from that stuff and just come in, you know, without any gossip, nothing in the back of my mind, nothing little stupid, just stupid little things in the back of my mind. I just want to come in and, you know, and just do whatever I can. But I mean, if somebody says something like, there's some talk about your brother or whatever, I'll go on and see what's up with that. But
yeah. It's probably best to stay off of it, I think. How much do you go to How much do you go to DMX? Every day? Every hour?
I go on, you know, every time I go on the computer once a day, and I usually go through everything. I go on DMX, I go...
Racer X, World, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, all the different things. Like, I usually just stick to you know, DMX and, you know, all the ones that I know.
Yeah, cool. Well, right on, man. Well, thank you. Thank you for doing this this show.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's cool to finally actually do one of these. I mean, me and my friend Nick May, when we were, you know, we were always listening to these. Like, he's got them all. I listened to the one with Jean-Michel Bale, and I thought that one was awesome. That was so cool.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, Nick, we helped. Nick was a DMX factory rider for a day. And I called him up to interview him, and all he wanted to do was talk about those podcasts. I was like, that's not going to make that good of an interview, bud. We got to talk about your race.
Yeah.
But thanks, man. I appreciate it. That's good. And we can do to get you on it. We should do this more often. We'll do it like before the season starts or something. Do an update.
All right.
And you got to think of some more stories. Just keep calling your dad and finding out more stories.
No, I got tons of stories.
Well, right on, man. Well, thank you, Tyler Medaglia, for doing the DMX podcast.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.